So I'll be talking very briefly this afternoon about a study, as you can see on the screen, which we did in collaboration with Charité here. They very kindly provided us with the data set, some of which was also scanned at Magdeburg. So a brief introduction. The reason this sort of study is important is because, as you can see in this room, there's a lot of centres worldwide who are carrying out MRE now. It's really sort of on an upward curve. And we have different protocols, different MRI systems being used at different universities and hospitals. So the ability to combine this data and compare it is really quite important. And we see variations in stiffness estimates depending on obviously what tissue you're looking at, but also the vibration frequency you're using and the image resolutions you're using, and depending on what analytical techniques are used. And just some previous work, work by Hamhaber and others found consistent results in the brain at 1.5 and 7 tesla. And Dr. Barnhill and others here at Charité found consistent results between 1.5, 3 and 7 tesla. So in this, we looked at the effect of field strength in the same subjects investigated at multiple frequencies using pure multi-frequency dual elastoviso inversion, or MDEV, as a lot of you will know it. So briefly into the methods, we had 18 healthy volunteers. The age range was from about 25 to 63, with an average of 36. And each of these subjects were scanned at all three field strengths. And the different scanners are up there on the screen. 1.5 tesla and 3 were carried out here at Charité, and 7T was 3 at Magdeburg. The frequencies used were 30, 40 and 50 hertz, which is a fairly standard frequency range for MRE. And the voxel, isotropic voxel resolution for 1.5 and 3 was 2 millimeters, and for 7 tesla was 1 millimeter. We had two different actuators used, the cradle and bite bar, which we'll come on to in the next slide. And as I mentioned before, it was MDEV inversion that was used. So the methods, on the left we have the non-magnetic driver. It's based on piezoelectric ceramics, and it was used for 1.5 and 3 as we've mentioned. You can see there, I'm not sure if the pointer's working yet, but the driver's patient at the end of the patient table, and then the carbon fiber rod transduces to the cradle. A lot of you probably have seen this before. And for 1.5 and 3 tesla, I believe the acquisition time was just under 6 minutes, and they both used this. And then for 7 tesla, the bite bar was used, actuation technique was used, and it induces tilted waves into the brain. We'll come on to why those might have been a bit different later on. So the results, repeated measures ANOVA showed significant difference between all of the groups. I'm probably going to say stiffness throughout this, but I actually mean the shear modulus, so apologies for that. So they were different at all field strengths. You can see it was 1.33 kilopascals at 1.5, 1.45 at 3 tesla, and it dropped to 0.82 at 7T. And those are just some elastograms from 1.5T on the left to 7T on the right. And the results, so along with the MDEV, there's use of FSL for masking, and this is just to show very briefly for anyone that doesn't know the difference, that there's something called low pass filtering, which a lot of you are probably going, yeah, I know what that is. But basically the difference that has, so 100 is much more conservative. It brought the results a lot lower for all of those. And you can see in this quite clearly how much of an outlier the 7 tesla data was there. So further results, despite the fact that we found all the groups were different, they did correlate significantly. So they are comparable in this study anyway. And you can see there the best correlation was between 7 tesla before we downsampled. So at 1 millimeter isotropic voxel resolution, and 3 tesla, which was at 2 millimeters. And the correlation values ranged from 0.608 there to 0.789, which was the best one. So in conclusion, although we saw statistically significant differences in mean values for the shear modulus, at different field strength, the 70 data was what differed the most, which to an extent was what we expected. So this might be in part due to different methods of actuation. White matter is, as you've heard a few times today, anisotropic. It has that property, and so that might be a reason that it's different. And even after downsampling, there was still a significant difference between the results. There's an adapted version of this analysis, which was carried out by Dr. Barnhill and others, which was presented at ISMRM last year. And we can see that forms a better basis for analysis. They included wavelet-based denoising, which brought the results from each field strength into a comparable range. Despite the difference in field strengths, as we said before, the data strongly correlates, and it demonstrates to an extent the effect that noise might have, especially in direct inversion-based MRE of the brain. In particular, the new findings differ from previous work, which uses, as I mentioned, adapted NDEV with wavelet-based denoising. In an ideal world, obviously, you would have the data collected with the same actuator, and the pipeline should be adjusted for consistent stiffness estimates. So these are my references. And just to say thanks for Charity for obviously providing this data, and to our funders, Mentholatum, Siemens, and Synapse. So thank you very much. If you have any questions.
Thank you, Helen. We have time for a few questions. So I have a question. As we learned today from Armando Manduca, he said that with increased noise, that has impact on the derived stiffness values.
Yeah.
With a lower signal to noise ratio, we get basically smaller stiffness values.
Yeah.
Does that mean your data at 7 Tesla has been more noisy than at the other frequencies?
Yeah, so as far as I'm aware, the data was noisier at 7 Tesla, which was sort of what we expected in terms of those values being a lot lower, estimated to be a lot lower. So yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.